You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Welcome to this episode of Caring Connections. This is Nicole Bruno, your host. Today, we will be discussing the impact of HIPAA on caregiving. Joining me today is Lacey Farrell, who is the Chief Privacy and Legal Support Officer and Patient Advocacy Officer for the UNC Healthcare System. Welcome, Lacey.
Thank you, Nicole. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is a topic that I've wanted to have on this show, believe it or not, for a good amount of time now, and it was really hard to find somebody who was an expert, so I'm glad I have an expert sitting across from me today.
Well, maybe you got the wrong person if you're looking for an expert.
Well, you came very well regarded. Let's put it this way. They actually pushed off the show a couple times just so we could get to you. So that's a good thing. You come with a lot of confidence behind you. Let's get started. You brought with you some myths and facts about this HIPAA, or you like to call it a privacy rule.
I refer to it as the federal privacy rule. So many times people get confused when you use the term HIPAA. So,
yeah.
And it's all about privacy and protecting a person's personal information in the healthcare system, and as well as the security of that information.
Sure. So when they say HIPAA, don't think of an animal in the zoo.
No, so many times people, rather than use HIPAA, I'll get letters saying HIPPA.
Okay, so everybody listen up now. Myth or fact, healthcare providers can share protected information with employers.
That is a myth, Nicole.
Okay.
The privacy rule absolutely prohibits healthcare providers and plans from disclosing personal health information to employers without a patient's explicit written authorization. And a key there is written authorization.
Okay.
The rule does not really recognize verbal authorization.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Myth or fact? One's doctor's office cannot send a patient's medical information to another doctor's office without the patient's consent.
Actually, no consent is necessary for a doctor's office to share a patient's information with another treating physician or another facility who may be involved in that patient's care.
Interesting, but they all ask us to sign and say it's okay.
And we do that at the UNC healthcare system.
But it's not a law.
It's not. The federal rule does not prohibit that.
Interesting.
That comes under something of the rule called treatment, payment, and healthcare operations.
Okay. Myth or fact, the privacy rule prohibits or discourages doctor-patient emails.
No, that is a myth.
I was going to say, because a lot of my doctors are in trouble then. They email me a lot.
Well, the rule allows alternative means of communications, but one of the key things for a healthcare provider is when the provider is communicating with that patient via email, they need to make sure they're communicating in a secure fashion.
Okay.
For instance, the email servers and the email system at the healthcare system is secure, and we send information outside to a patient if a patient requests it, then that email is secure and cannot be hacked by an outside source.
So it's not like sending it through a Yahoo account
like
that.
You know, I'm not going to say negative things about Yahoo.com
sure.
or Gmail or Hotmail.
For example, AOL or whatever.
But those are not considered secure email servers.
So that could be then, I've received emails in the past where it's almost like you've received a secure email and then you have to click it and open it.
You have to go to a secure website.
And then it's a whole
website.
Other separate process. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Exactly.
So it's in a similar fashion.
Exactly, but
about.
That's just to protect your information.
Okay. Myth or fact, the privacy rule prohibits hospitals from sharing information with a patient's family without the patient's expressed consent.
No, the privacy rule allows a provider to disclose to family members or other friends who are involved in that individual's care or the payment for that individual service to share certain information that's related to the care or that will allow the healthcare provider to get payment for those services.
So is that the same then for physicians outside the hospital? Like, you know, just say I saw my primary physician.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I know that, you know, and I think sometimes people get scared of the HIPAA law. I can remember a time, not in this health system at all, but my husband tried to call to pay a bill on my behalf because he was home and he said, let me pay this bill. And they said, I can't talk to you because of HIPAA. They wouldn't let him pay it.
And that is not so. Okay. The rule does not, an account balance is not one of the, what's called the data element that's part of protected health information. Huh. You know, I could even call in and pay your bill for you.
Oh, would you? I've got a large dental bill.
The problems that you get into is a lot of times when you have a spouse or a family member calling in to pay the patient's bill, let's say the bill's $87.23. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, what is Nicole's balance? They'll say $87.23. Mm-hmm. And then it leads the individual to say, well, you know, exactly what is that for? That's where you get into a problem. You cannot disclose that information without the patient's written authorization.
But a doctor's office could make a policy that they don't want to do that, perhaps.
Yes.
And then, so that could very well be what goes on sometimes. Interesting. Okay, myth or fact, the privacy rule prohibits a patient's family member from picking up prescriptions for the patient.
No, the privacy rule actually allows a person to act on a patient's behalf to pick up a prescription.
That was always interesting to me because you can't necessarily ask the doctor what's wrong with them, but they could pick up their pills later and find out.
That is true.
Okay. Myth or fact, the privacy rule mandates new disclosures of protected health information.
No, disclosure is only mandated in two situations.
And what are new disclosures, just for the people?
Pardon?
What does that mean, new disclosures?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by
so
that.
So basically the privacy rule mandates new disclosures of protected health information. What does that mean?
There are no new disclosures that are mandated.
Okay.
The rule only mandates two times for disclosures.
Okay.
One, when a patient wants their own information, mm-hmm. the rule mandates that the healthcare provider must provide that,
mm-hmm.
or they must disclose it to the Department of Health and Human Services if there's an oversight investigation going on. In other words, if a patient has filed a complaint that their privacy has been violated and mm-hmm. the Health and Human Services, or actually the Office for Civil Rights, which is the federal agency assigned to oversee the privacy rule, mm-hmm. comes in to conduct an investigation, then the healthcare provider, it mandates that you must provide that information.
Well, we need to take a quick break. On that note, joining me today is Lacey Farrell, who is the Chief Privacy and Legal Support Officer and Patient Advocacy Officer for the UNC Healthcare System. We will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Lacey Farrell, who is the Chief Privacy and Legal Support Officer and Patient Advocacy Officer for the UNC Healthcare System. And today we are discussing the impact of HIPAA, or as Lacey likes to call it, the privacy law on caregiving and for the general consumer as well. Welcome back, Lacey.
Thank you, Nicole.
Okay, well, I think I've failed some of this quiz so far. So we need to finish these last three just so I'm out there in the community saying the right things. Okay, so a couple more myths and facts, and then I have some very specific questions for you. Myth or fact, a patient's medical records can no longer be used for marketing. Was it ever used for marketing?
Yes.
Oh, no, this is Nicole, and this is what she has, and we're going to fix her.
Yes. The rule does permit healthcare providers to use certain health-related information for marketing purposes. But there are some pretty tight restrictions on that. We monitor that very closely.
I would guess you'd have to change the name and a lot of information so that we wouldn't be able to tell who it was.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you never know. It could be in a book somewhere, huh? Okay. Myth or fact, if a patient refuses to sign an acknowledgement stating that they've received the healthcare provider's notice of privacy practices, the healthcare provider can or must refuse to provide services.
No, that is not true.
Oh, okay.
One, it's very important that a healthcare provider, and the rule does mandate that a healthcare provider offer a patient their notice of privacy practice as mm-hmm. the first point of contact or when their first visit.
Sure.
the rule states that I have to offer it to you and offer an acknowledgement for you to sign that you have received it. Now, you can refuse it, and you can sign that you don't want it, but that does not say if Nicole refuses to accept that notice of privacy practice that I refuse to provide her care.
Okay.
And does not permit the healthcare provider to do that.
Well, and I would suspect, too, especially in a hospital system, if somebody's brought in very sick and they can't sign at that time, you still provide care until they can, I would guess.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay. Last one, myth or fact, the privacy rule imposes many new restrictions on a hospital's fundraising efforts so that fundraising becomes almost impossible.
That's a myth.
Okay.
We're still allowed to use certain information and involved in a patient's record for fundraising activities.
So to say we've treated this many people with heart conditions or different things like that, if you're looking for a grant, perhaps.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, let me get to some pointed questions here. So when a person is, I'm talking about caregivers specifically with this program, and I think a lot of times caregivers just assume because they're in a caregiving role that perhaps they have a right to lots of information about the person they're caregiving for. And I guess maybe before we start, can you answer that question? Are you comfortable with that? You know, say I'm caregiving for a friend and she's, quote, under my care, but perhaps I'm not the healthcare power of attorney. Would I still have a right to her information?
You would have a right to her information if she's given written consent or written authorization for that.
Okay.
Anyone can who has mental capacity can give written authorization for their information to be shared with anyone else.
And that's sort of that form you fill out annually at the doctor's office. Who has the right to know what?
Well, I mean, it can be filled out annually. It can be changed
anytime
upon the individual's request.
Okay.
The form also is required to have an expiration date on it.
Okay.
You know, and you may fill it out, and the person or the patient may fill it out and say, well, this expires in 90 days or expires in a year or it expires
when I expire.
Exactly. I've actually seen them that way.
Yeah. If you're saying I want to keep doing that over and over again, maybe I'll try that at the doctor's office next time.
But it's, you know, and it's very, this is an important point. If a spouse, for instance, thinks that they want, that they would like their information shared with
their husband or wife.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's important that they do this because a lot of times people assume, well, just because they're the spouse, it's okay, but it's not.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm surprised. I guess things were that way years ago, but not anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going on in people's personal lives to make them not want to share, I guess.
That is exactly true.
Yeah. Okay. So can a healthcare provider disclose protected health information to law enforcement officials?
They can under certain conditions.
Okay.
And I'll give you some examples. Many people think that just because you receive a subpoena, for instance, from an attorney, maybe an attorney is representing a patient in a liability issue, automobile accident, for instance, they subpoena that patient's records.
Mm-hmm.
That subpoena alone sent by the attorney is not valid authorization to release the records.
So let's say, though, you know, I'm a caregiver from a distance for a loved one, and I'm very concerned that they're at risk to themselves, so I call Adult Protective in, for example. Would that be an example of a situation where things could be shared?
Yes, in a case like that.
Okay.
Just because a police officer, for instance, walks into the hospital or the emergency room and says, I understand Nicole was in an automobile accident. I would like to know the results of her blood alcohol test.
Oh.
That's not going to be shared just because the officer asked for it.
Okay.
You know, now a judge can sign a court order, and we can release the information.
Mm-hmm.
The patient can give written authorization.
Okay, fine,
and we can do it. There can be an administrative request. There are certain ways that we can do it, and there are certain state statutes that require that we do share it with law enforcement or with certain state agencies.
Mm-hmm. Child abuse, I would suspect, would be another.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. So does the privacy rule protections apply to the protected health information of a deceased individual?
It does.
That's one of the few things that continues on after death.
Yes, it does. But there was a recent change to that September 23rd of 2013.
Okay.
Up until September 23rd of 2013, the protections of the privacy rule applied to a decedent forever. As of September 23rd, 2013, it now only applies for 50 years. After 50 years, the decedent's protected health information is no longer protected by the privacy rule.
Okay. Well, that's, I can't imagine, well, I don't know why someone would want to look at it after 50 years, but you never know, I guess. Perhaps it could be an adoption situation or something.
Well, actually, these things come up from time to time.
Yeah. Okay. Who must comply with the privacy rule standards then? Is this just for hospitals and physicians?
No, it applies to healthcare providers, hospitals, physicians.
So nursing homes, assisted livings, home care agencies.
Health plans, such as your insurance carriers. Mm-hmm. Healthcare clearinghouses, where you may be sending claims to be processed.
Okay, so it extends beyond where you might think. Okay, well, we actually need to take another quick break. This has been a lot of great information so far. I'm excited about hearing more. Again, this is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and I am here today with Lacey Farrell, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM, WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections. And joining me today again is Lacey Farrell, who is the Chief Privacy and Legal Support Officer and Patient Advocacy Officer for the UNC Healthcare System. Welcome back, Lacey.
Thank you, Nicole.
Well, I really think you're doing a great job enlightening all of us to what's going on here with this privacy rule. And I know we have a few more questions we really want to get to before the end of the show. So let me just jump right in. And this is something I've personally experienced. So I'm curious to know the answer to this question. May physicians use patient sign-in sheets or call out the names of their patients in their waiting rooms?
Yes, the rule permits that, Nicole. They can. Many physician practices do use a sign-in sheet,
sure.
And the nurse or an attendant will come out and say, Ms. Bruno, it's time for you to come back to see the physician. It's time for your appointment. What the rule does prohibit, though, is for that person to come out and say, Ms. Bruno, come on back for your XYZ procedure.
For your colonoscopy. Yeah. There you go.
I'll just call it an XYZ procedure.
Well, that's interesting because I've actually seen some places, and I think even UNC has this system where in certain areas you get a number and then they call you by number or just
they
depending
do.
On what you're doing. So,
But the sign-in sheet with a name, most places use...
Otherwise, you're getting expensive technology for some organizations. Yeah. Okay. So what is the minimum necessary standard of the privacy rule? What's the least you can do to get by?
Well, actually, the minimum necessary standard is one of the most important standards of the rule. And the rule is made up of many standards, believe me. But the minimum necessary standard, and I'll define it this way, is in very simple terms. It says an individual may use or access only that information that is necessary for them to accomplish the task that's given to them. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're reviewing a patient's medical record, for instance, that patient is in for, let's say, they're in for some type of orthopedic procedure. There's no need for you to be going back 2 years before to look to see why that patient had a psychiatric admission. So you only use or access that amount of information that is relevant to the job you're performing.
That's a good way of putting it, for sure. Well, this has been a wonderful topic, and I feel like we need to have you back again if you'd like to join us. But I've really enjoyed the wealth of information that you've provided, and hopefully our listeners have learned a lot of information today as well. Once again, thanks for joining us, Lacey. He is the Chief Privacy and Legal Support Officer for the Patient and Patient Advocacy Officer for the UNC Healthcare System. And as always, you may email your caring questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you so much and have a great day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.